You may be seated. All right, let's move forward. Take your document. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Oh my God, we're going to get ahead of the game here. Hey, my. In a few days, a new administration shall take office in Washington, D.C. And there's much anticipation, and there's even much trust in what our new president may or may not do. There's trepidation also. We are not going to jump on the bandwagon of the trust, nor the trepidation. Amen. Our trust is in the living God. I say that again. Our trust is in the living God. Now, I'm not saying that we won't participate in some way as citizens, which we have. I'm sure some of you voted in the last election, and we're going to always do our part as being good citizens. Amen. But here we're talking about trust and trepidation. Amen. We are not going to be stressed out, not so much because of how much trust we have in the new administration, but we're not going to be stressed out because of the trust that we have in God. Amen. That whatever goes down is that which He has ordained and preordained. I want you to turn to a passage this morning. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to focus on verse 10. Now, as God gives light, we go with the light. I have looked at this verse many, many, many times. In fact, I have taught from it. And I must confess that I never really, really broke it down in exegesis. Because it just seemed that what I had read in the commentaries made so much sense. But having exegeted it, 3-fold. What are 3-fold methods of scrutiny in exegesis? Historical, grammatical, and contextual. And as we looked at this actually about 2 weeks ago, and we started a little bit in perfecting class, it began to give us a little bit better light and understanding of what the Apostle Paul was conveying in this message. I want you to take your document, and we're going to move to part 2. So turn to page 32. In the section is the locale of God's created acts in eternity, the beginning of time, or even the sphere of time. Again, it's the locale of God's creative acts in eternity, the beginning of time, or the sphere of time. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Brother Deacon, let's start in that Ephesians for context's sake. In verse 8, read it from the King James, and then we're going to go back through this. And I think the context clears it up even more than the grammar. But here I think we're going to be able to align the grammar and the context. When we're reading the Bible, the most glorious blessing is to read it with an understanding. Many wars have been fought. Many homes have been broken. Many communities have been unsettled because somebody didn't read this Bible right. And even today, there are many illusions and even hallucinations that we see around us. Those acted out things supposedly from the Word of God. Somebody read something and they thought they saw something that they didn't see, and they acted on it. And so we're always careful. We're very careful. And it is a laborious task to take these passages of scriptures, a lot of work in it. But sometimes it can make the difference between peace and you being very unsettled. It can make the difference between you trusting or you tripping out. Sometimes it can make the difference of whether you are going to look at a thing and say, "Amen, Lord, your will is done," or whether you get down on your knees begging God to change it. Nothing's wrong with your petition now. This is why I'm going to stop. We're going to teach. And I don't know how long it's going to take to teach this, but however long, God's will is already done. And this is what this scripture here, verse 10, is basically saying to us. Hold up page 32 and go back. Oh my God. Even though I started early, I wish. Go to your glossary of definitions on page 3. Hold at page 32. So that when we begin to utilize these terms, we'll all be on the same page. Exegetic, or exegesis, relates to the study and interpretation of texts of the scripture writings, and we've gone over the threefold aspect of it. Actualization, to make actual, real, or turn into a fact. Actuation, to put that in action, to start the process, incite or move to action, impel or to motivate. Existence, the state of being real or actually current rather than imagined. Manifestation, the outward perceptible indication of revelation or manifestation. And the last one we'll deal with this morning, ontology. Everybody say ontology. That is to establish a traditional rule of religious belief, philosophy, a way of life. It is the study of, study concerned with what, that was orthodox, ontology. It's what we're looking at here. study concerned with what constitutes existence or coming into being. So when we say a thing is ontologized, ontology, ontological, we're speaking about existence, what actually causes a thing to exist. And you know, that's very important. It's very important as we look at the scripture distinctions of actualization and eternity for manifestation in time. And if we understand this will help us in our prayers. This will help us sometimes to lay down at night and go to sleep. What are we talking about? And as we get into our message this morning, you'll see that many times we are stressed out over something that is past, or for the most part, that has already come to pass. Sometimes we're praying and asking God not to allow something that He has already allowed. I often think of Mother Gutlow and laying there getting ready to go into surgery. Oh my God. All her vitals were calm. Her blood pressure, she was just a cool customer. And I said, Mother, seemed mighty calm. And she said, Pastor? I said, yeah. And y'all are mad at me mocking a little bit. I said, didn't you teach us it was already done? I said, yes. He said, why should I be mad and worry about something that's already done? Let me give you a very crude illustration. If a star is 100 light years distance-wise from us, and you were able to look at that star, what you perceive and see is the light from that star 100 years ago. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That is in a straight line. And assuming that you're looking at it and it is in a straight line and not necessarily. Amen. Einstein proved that it doesn't always travel in a straight line, but I'm not going to get into any physics this morning. But assuming what you are looking at is something that appeared 100 years before it was manifested to you. Y'all hear me this morning? Now we have stars that are being born every day, and we have stars that are dying every day. It could be that what you are looking at 100 years, by the time you see it is 100 years later, that star could be dead. Now what am I saying? We've talked about a general theme of this dissertation and this document, some 10 parts, and of course, I don't know how long. I'm not even worried about that anymore. Amen. 300-some pages. I'm going to give it to you in parts. We have part two that we're starting on this morning. But when we think about actualization, that's what a thing actually is. And what actually is resides in eternity. Not time. Time is when you see it. Not when it was actually created, not when it was actualized, not when it was perceived. Our problem is our multipole is basically around us. We use ourselves as multipole. In other words, what's happening is what's happening around me, and it doesn't happen until I, you know the old historical syndrome, you know, Columbus discovered America, it was already here, but you know, but I'm just using that. I'm not trying to get into no historical arguments here. I'm just using a very crude example here. But when you see that star, if it's 100 light years away from here, that means that whatever distance that is, you take 186,000 miles per second, it would take 100 years for you to see it. If it traveled at 100, that means what you're just now seeing, amen, that light that has just reached you, amen, is actually what was existing before we were born. If it's 100 light years away. Have you ever watched the on the news and someone is reporting from somewhere around the world, and they got the camera on them, and they speak to that person, and that person have to wait a few seconds before they answer. You know what happens? You see, the speed of sound is much slower than the speed of light. Now, to that person, the question wasn't asked until they heard it. And that's the way we think. Until we see it, until we hear it, it doesn't exist. No. No. Look. Let's go to our text. Everybody got Ephesians 3 and 8. Follow me closely here. You know, and I was reading this. I got to thinking, I was chuckling a little bit. It's no wonder Festus, after Paul stood before Agrippa for hours, and he was given a discourse concerning this mystery of what God had given him, the revelation. And at some point, Festus, the prosecutor, stood up and said, enough of this madness. Paul, your knowledge has made you crazy. I'm paraphrasing. Amen. He said, you are crazy. So you're not going to insult our intelligence. We sit here hearing this nonsense. Amen. But you see, what is foolish, God takes the foolishness of this world, or what seemed foolish to men, and that's, see, what we call foolishness is truth, and what, amen, we call truth many times is foolishness. You see? Amen. So it's just the opposite of what's going on. And where we're going with this morning is that God's people are just as stressed out as the world. We're basket cases just like the world. We're up at night worrying about things just like the world. As though you're floating out here in the universe, unchecked and unsecure. Now that would be a frightening proposition if you were not secure. But I tell you this morning, you're secure, you're safe. And I don't know about that. Then why are you saying you're saved then? If you're saved, you, amen, saved means what? It means safe. It means safe. You know, you're dependent upon some pension that was decreed either to continue or to be cut off in eternity. And, amen, and that thing beginning to manifest to you that it might not go that way. And there you are tripping out of it as though your tripping out can change things. Up all night worrying about stuff and as though, I mean, thank God it doesn't it doesn't hurt it, but it sure doesn't help it either. Amen. Go to sleep at night. And that right, Sister Luba? Go to bed at night. Close your eyes and go to sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. So, well, Pastor, you know, you're talking about this. And I'm saying this because, you know, there are a lot of things out here. There are some things that are going to go down in the next few years going to be very harrowing. And it's not going to be because of who's in office or who's not in office. You all hear me this morning. It's going to be because God has decreed it. In fact, it has already happened. It just hasn't been manifested yet. Amen. I mean, can you think, just an example I give, you are looking at something, amen, that's 100 years old, and you're just not seeing it. You think that it's current. Read. Everybody got Ephesians 3 and 8, say amen.
Ephesians 3 and 8, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Here he's talking about a message, and I'm trying to fast track here a little bit. That word that is translated there, unsearchable, actually, I think when we get to the Greek, it's untrackable. 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 That, oh my God. Let's go through and let's get to the Greek.
Verse 9, King James Version. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
That if you look in your Bible, you see that word man is what?
Italicized.
It's italicized. Just take a pen and strike that out. Woo, Pastor, that's bold. No, it's not. It doesn't belong in there. You'll never hear Paul talking about making all men see nothing. Who is this mess? Who is this letter written to?
Saints, the church,
the body of Christ. He's only concerned about those knowing that he was writing to. Keep reading. I'm sorry.
Which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
From the beginning of the world, these, oh my God, keep reading.
Verse 10,
To
the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
And even when we get to the translation, I'm going to show you that you read the commentaries, and this is what I've said too, because I, you know, if I look at it, and certain, I won't call the name, but a certain theologian said that this is what he meant, then that's what we go with. Mm-hmm. They told us he was talking about to the devil and all of those opposing forces, and he's going to show them up. See, but that's not what Paul was saying here. That's not what Paul was saying. He's not concerned about showing the devil up. God, man, please. God didn't have to prove anything to himself. Now let's go back. Let's go back to the to the interlineal. Everybody got your interlineal? Everybody got your interlude, turn it, and if not, just follow closely in the King James.
Verse 8, interlinear Greek text. To me, the leaster of all saints was given.
That me of all people, that's all Paul was saying. And we know the story, but I don't get into that. Go ahead.
Was given this grace.
Mm-hmm.
To the nations.
Now, here he's speaking about the message, the revelation of the mystery. This message. So, well, he's talking about Paul received the grace of God to receive the yes, as he did. But he's talking about the message. For who?
To the nations, to preach the...
To the nations, to the Gentiles, those whom are predominantly those who call out in this dispensation. To do what?
To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ.
So that's what he's talking about. What I was given to convey. And here, that Greek word really means untrackable. Why is it untrackable? Because God, this is that which God brought into existence. Amen. But he's not bothering to manifest or reveal it to everybody. And no man, I don't care how smart he is, how brilliant he is, can search this out. This comes strictly to revelation. And this is why, you know, I don't get an argument. Someone said, well, I don't, you know, that all that stuff in the Bible. And I hear somebody talk, they say, well, I don't believe that. And so forth. Hey, all right, okay. I said, well, I don't believe. Well, Paul even writes one. He said, what if some don't believe? So what? Huh? I don't get all upset. I would never be on a panel with anywhere with anybody arguing about what's here. You know, because it can't be searched out. The only way you can understand it is God reveal it to you. And God hasn't chosen to reveal it to everyone. But if it is ringing and resonating in your heart this morning, you ought to rejoice in the God of your salvation. Amen. And you can say like Paul. I can say like Paul. I've used myself. Amen. The least of all. Amen. Of all people. Amen. That he would give the revelation and the understanding, the elucidation to me. And you can also say to you. Amen. Who are we that God should give this knowledge to, seeing that he hasn't given it to everyone?
No.
All right, Brother Deacon, read.
Verse 9 in the linear Greek text. And to bring to light.
Oh my God. To bring to light. You got your other Bible there? Look at that word bring. Fortise. Here we transliterate that word to what in English we call it a photo. You know, you look at a picture. Look at a picture and you say, oh, this is so. What is that word, Brother Deacon?
An aorist infinitive.
Well, that's right. I forgot. They told us. What did they say? They said, ignore it. In eternity, God has done something, and in eternity, he's decided who's going to know what he did. To bring heaven brought to light. To bring to light heaven brought to light. So, Pastor, you sound like Paul now. Amen. So what is known of what you know is the result of God having determined in eternity that you will know it. But it's not just happening because you know it. Like salvation. We said, well, I got saved 10 years ago. Well, I got saved 40 years ago. No, you didn't. You were saved in eternity. By God's decree, the Lamb of God was slain in eternity. Not 2,000 years ago. You just saw that light that was, I'm just using analogy. You're just looking at that light, amen, that actually began its 10-year light, 100 light year journey 100 years ago. You're just not seeing it. But that's not when the light occurred. It happened when God said, you will see the light. And when did he say that? In eternity. Who would know and who wouldn't know? I mean, God has loved. He has loved us from the beginning. God has loved us a long time. Oh my God, somebody ought to give the Lord a hand praise. He has loved us a long time. Long time before we ever got here. I'm going to be walking around worried about some bill or some ailment. Lord, help me not to. Read that, Brother Deacon.
And to bring to light, having broke.
Yes.
Stewardship of the mystery.
Mm-hmm. What is the, that Greek word there is economia, which is the same Greek word that is translated what?
Dispensation.
Right, the dispensation. Now here, he's using that to chronicle a time. This is light that Paul said that was hid from generation until this dispensation. This is what Paul is saying. Not only did God deem who would know it, he deemed when you would know it. And he deemed that nobody would know it before the grace dispensation.
That's right.
Aren't we blessed? And so, somebody said, well, you know, I wish I could be one of the disciples back then, but he's not me.
Yeah.
I want to know more than Abraham knew. Don't you want to know more than what David and Moses and, you know, the disciples, he said, well, they walked with him every day. They never knew what we know. God never, he never revealed this to them. I'm glad I was born when I was born, because you know what I think of back of 100 years ago, there were no automobiles, and if you traveled, you had to get on a horse or a buggy or something. Amen. Go on back there with Moses if you want to. This is the now age knowledge. Read.
The stewardship of the mystery having been hidden from the ages.
The economy of the mystery of the economy of the mystery. Here this is the dispensation of the mystery. Now some are gonna come after us about, you know, they're gonna fight us, Brother Deacon. They're gonna fight us over. They're going to call us dispensationalists. They're going to say we're crazy. Some are going to call us a cult. Because we won't take the kingdom message and amalgamate it with the grace message. No, you let law be law. You let, let kingdom law be kingdom law. And grace be grace. And we can't say this enough. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you'll never understand. It will confuse you. It will frustrate you.
Amen.
You'll never be selling peace, mixing these messages together. Here here he's laying out right here the economy of the mystery. And here we have the genitive of possession here. The economy that belongs to the mystery. Mysterium. Not, which is not speaking of mystery like we think of a mystery. It is the volume of truth that was hid. And now God has revealed it in this day, in this time, now. What is the stick about the economy of the dispensation of the mystery? Read.
Having been hidden.
Read that again.
Having been hidden.
Having been hidden. It was. What is that, Brother Deacon? Haven't been hidden. Not hidden now. It was, but it's not now. And you know, you can't hide a thing unless it already exists. We think it's something just popping into existence because we just saw it. So what did God hide? So why he hid an idea? See, this way I'm going to understand the difference between manifestation and actualization. A thing is actualized in God's decree. When God perceived it, that's when it existed. He didn't have to materialize it. And he shouldn't have to reveal it to us or anyone else. It is a what? What's the perfect tense? Completed action with what? All right, so it is because it was. And the strength being that it was. And it is because you're just seeing it. But it was, amen, because God could have hidden something that wasn't the that wasn't. Oh my God. You see, well, we've been taught that God is making daily decisions.
Right.
God gets up in the morning and he said,
yep.
Oh, let's see what the... Oh, I wonder what Alan Nicholson is going to do today. Is that crazy? Huh? Is that crazy? And so we've been taught that we pray to influence God what to do. Yeah, we laugh at some denominations because they say go to his mother and so forth. But that's just as crazy as what we do. Here we're going to advise God. But it helps to know that that thing is already done. So what do you mean? You don't pray, but I said, you don't know what prayer. You know, you have no idea what prayer is. That's the problem. Prayer is privileged communication with God. We think prayer is just petition. And so, well, if he's already made up his mind, what's the use of praying? Oh, because it might not be what you want. You're not going to talk to God unless it's about something you want. You're not going to communicate with him unless it's something that you want. We got to get this me-ism. Me, my, me. That's the height of immaturity. That's how little child say it quick. That's mine. Me, mine.
Yes.
No, you don't. This thing is not about you. It's about him. In fact, it's not only about him, it's all about him. It's about purpose. All right, read. Was hidden one.
Having been hidden from the ages in God.
From the beginning, from the ages, where was it hidden?
In God.
In God. What?
The all.
Mm-hmm.
Having.
All that is.
have him
preach. All that is, all that is. In other words, he said, all created. All having been created. All having been created. Now look, all having been created, look what he just said. From the ages, from the ages. Amen. Oh my God. It wasn't created in the ages, it was just hid from the ages. There's no creation in time. This section that we shall be ministering from next several weeks here is the locale of God's creative acts in eternity, the beginning of time, or even in the sphere of time. We've got to put a locale to God creative acts, to creation. We got this thing in time. And that's why we're all mixed up and messed up, and we have so many denominations, because everyone has got a panacea, everyone's got a prescription as to how and why and so forth and so on. If we understand that this thing is already done, you clear the table. Nothing to argue about. How you going to argue about something that's already done? Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy. How? That thing, you're just seeing it. I'm using an analogy now. 100 years later, you're going to... That star you look at, for all you know, it's been destroyed already. Because, and it would take you another 100 years to see that. If it was destroyed at this very instant. But you know what? I'm just using that as an analogy. If that star was really destroyed, when was it destroyed? In eternity, in God's decree. I'm just using an analogy there. So now we have the mystery, we have creation, we haven't been having here from the ages. And in verse 9 there, you see, to bring the light. And see, you don't see anthropos anywhere in there, do you? I know the derivative of anthropos. Anthropon, you do not see man in there. Our job is not to make the world see the light. Well, didn't say, oh, you're the star of the world. Stay in your gospel. Stay in your gospel. Paul succinctly states in the fourth chapter of Ephesians what the church ministry. Though he gave some what? And some what? And some what? Evangelists, pastors and teachers for what? For the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And then he tells what the work of the ministry is. Edifying the world. Body of Christ. So, well, I don't know who the body of Christ is. That's right. That's why we will minister in general, but it's not our job to make anybody see it. That's why I don't worry about someone and say, well, you know, I really can't understand the pastor said, and now it's my job to go through and try to, amen, to bring in, present it and so forth and so on. Amen. If you have ever received any of this, it wasn't my doing. And if these ministers stand before you, it's not their doing. If you see the light, amen. Don't ever say, thank you, pastor. Thank you, ministers. You know what you should say? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Who's the teacher? Holy Spirit. So, Paul, just historically, when you read that, you would know something's wrong. You never see what Paul tried to make all men see nothing. Even when he stood before Agrippa and he was conveying the message, amen, peradventure there was some there that heard it and God revealed it to him. and while it was nonsense and foolishness, amen, to Festus, amen, what the scriptures speak that to the Jews is a stumbling block, to the Greek it is foolishness, but to us it is the power. Can you say power? Can you say power? It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what this light is. Not the power that gets you saved. The power to what? To come into the knowledge, illumination. That's what this is all about. That's the job of the church. Our job is not to save anybody. You can't say. They used to teach us that we didn't go out and preach this gospel, somebody was going to go to hell because we, you know, like God has got this, you know, whatever. Oh, Lord, help. Here we all depraved and God depended upon us. No. If he commissioned you, absolutely you're going to go out and do it. But don't you ever think that you were the cause of someone seeing the light. There are people who think today that they are the cause of somebody being saved. Poor fellas. If you think that's pitiful, you think that you're the cause of somebody being saved, that's pitiful. And you see, this is why we're going to take our time and we're going to take all of this out of time and eternity, so we don't get into a bunch of foolishness. That's crazy. Now we're at verse 10. All right. Now, very slowly, because they taught us that God, the end, he's going to take the church and show, bring the devil and the shame and the spells and powers. And that's, of course, but I read it. You thought so too. When you eat, there is no substitute for exegesis. What translation do we use? All of them. What manuscripts do we use? All of them. Which one do we rely on? None of them. Read that very slowly, Brother Deacon. Everybody with this 3 and 10. Whether you have the internet or not, follows.
Ephesians 3:10, interlinear Greek text. In order that might be made known now.
In order that
might be made known now to the rulers.
You see that word there? You see that Greek word there? You see that Greek word? How dare those of you who have your Greek interlinear, hold this and let's, just for the sake of comparing word, hold that and let's go to John, the Gospel of John, but they call it the Gospel of John. You don't even have to know any Greek here, but just, I'm not saying that you don't know Greek, I'm just saying. You got chapter 1?
John 1.
Yeah, Read that in the King James. One and one.
John 1, 1, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning.
Stop. Let's go to the Greek. Read.
In beginning.
Stop. Look at that word, that Greek word that he has over beginning, and compare it with the word that we're looking at that he's calling ruler. Wow. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, just look above. You don't have to even know Greek there. You can recognize characters. Look at that word. I mean, You've got different derivatives of it. Here is Archi, is in Archi, and here he's got Tis Archias. Same word. In other words, if that word is beginning in John 1:1, then that word is beginning in Ephesians 3:10. You know why they ran away from it? Look two words to the left of that word. You can drop John 1:1. I'm just trying to show that that word is beginning. Look two words to your left. What is that word? Neen. Now. That's why they ran away from it. Now the beginning. You know what threw them off? What threw them off? He said, Pastor, why don't you do that in perfecting class? Because some of you won't come to perfecting class. Plus, I want this documented in our audio section and the link on the website, because I know someone's going to write me, and I welcome anyone to write me about this. Now the beginning. That now the beginning. I am all of that now the beginning. Now what further threw him off? That reads now the beginning and the authorities. He's talking about what was authorized in the beginning.
Oh.
Talk about the devil and all of his powers and, you know, the commentaries. And I fell for that too, but until we start exegeting. Now look at the verb in there. Now recently. Here it's translated, might be made known. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Error subjunctive passive.
That's a what?
Error subjunctive.
It is a subjunctive aorist. I said this before, I said it again. I defy someone to consistently explain away the subjunctive aorist. What is a subjunctive mood? Probability. What is the aorist tense? Completed action. I know we don't talk that way. The probability aspect of it is the manifestation of the manifested of the revealing. You said, well, I don't know, it might be according to how that thing reveals. I mean, it's possible. It might be even probable. And that's why we say it might be or may be. Because we don't know.
Right.
Do we? There are many things that we don't know. There are possibilities, but we don't really know, do we? So we can't talk about that thing like it's a completed action, can we?
No, we
cannot. That doesn't stop the Holy Spirit from it. What might be known, might be having been known, now the beginning. Now he's tracing the locale of where this thing is authorized. What was authorized? Keep reading.
Might be made known to the rulers or
now to the beginning,
and
to the authorities. Where?
In the heavenly.
How could he be talking? If that's in the heavenlies, in Christ, how could he be talking about some principalities and powers or some rulers on earth? You see how we're always wrapping everything around us? We use ourselves as the mental pole. Just the locale of that thing. And here, Paul goes back, amen, and explains that thing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us with what? Spiritual blessings. Where? Same place? In the heavens. Where in the heavens? In Christ. That's way back in the beginning. God has decreed this thing. So where has he, going back to verse 9, as it speaks of the economy of the dispensation of the mystery, having been hid from us, all having been created and hidden in the ages. You see how that leads into verse 10? That what? That might be having been known. Now, to the beginning, what was authorized. To the beginning and the authorization of the authorities. What? What has been created? Where was it created? Where is everything created? In Christ. It's in God. Not by him, in him. Colossians was that 1:16? He said, in him. All things created in him. Not by him, not remotely by him, but in him. And as big as the universe is, it doesn't fill him up. Oh my God. Somebody ever ask you, where is God in the universe? Say, let's change that question around. Where is the universe? It's in God. You see, we got God jumping around from places to places. And so he does. So this is in the heavenlies. By what?
The church.
Church. What?
The manifold
wisdom
of God.
How he took those that were so unlike him and made them just like him. He gave you his nature. Had nothing to do with you. Because on the best day, we are all a sorry bunch. Not about you. It's about him. God loves you. Don't you know he loves you? And you see, the importance of that is this. You out here, I guess my time is about up there. You out here and things are going on. Things are going to happen. Most of them not going to be pretty. Most of them are not going to be what you want. Most of them are going to frighten you.
Right.
Most of them are going to go against your itinerary. You don't have an agenda. And if you do not really trust God and believe God, you're going to be miserable. See, trusting God is trusting God to do his will. Trusting God is not trusting God to do your will.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, I want what I want, so it doesn't take much for me to petition God for what I want, does it? Huh? So, well, I'm trusting God for $1 million. I've seen people, that's crazy. I've even heard someone on TV. We're going to Africa, we're going to Asia, we're going to do this crusade, and we're trusting God for a million souls. I said about myself, never mind. But anyway, Lord help me. It's about him.
Yeah.
And the reason we have taken our time this morning, some of you don't get caught up in this political thing. Don't get caught up in this economic thing. We're in the world, but what?
Not
we're not of the world. Where's our citizenship?
In the heavenlies.
And so we don't know what's going to happen going forth, and I know I'm at the close on right now.
No.
We have no idea what's going to happen.
No.
But you know what? We shouldn't lay up awake at night worried about what's going to happen. Oh, we sing the song. I know who hold tomorrow, I know who hold my hand. You know, you're singing a song, but then you up all night worrying about it. I was looking at the news and they say they were naming off the companies that were laying off thousands. So, yeah, but we got an economic initiative package that's going to be said. Well, you know what? If I had a petition, I would petition the Lord for the thing to work. But then, no, we never close our prayer, do we, brother?
No.
That's why I don't have prayer here without some supervision, some ministerial supervision and directives. We don't close a prayer without saying what? Your will. Because what's going to happen? Will. So if you got a job out here, go to it. But don't worry about it. You got a house you're living in? Live in it. But don't worry about it. I know what I'm talking about, right? You got a career? Go at it. But don't let your heart beat be in sync with it. What's going to happen? I don't know. What's liable to happen? I don't know. But why should I worry about something that has already happened? But even more than that, I trust him. I trust him. I trust him because in eternity, he chose me. He called me. He elected me. He put me in the body of Christ. And that transcends and trumps anything that could happen. Even if this world came apart by the seas, I'm safe. Can you say safe? I'm secure. Can you say secure? From all of them. Garner this knowledge, gather this knowledge, store it up, and then you can really, 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 really lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus.